In this evening and just read the crucifixion narrative for us, and then we're going to sing a song, and this is how tonight's going to go. We're just going to read scripture and pray and sing and read some more scripture and pray and sing. There is a direction. I'll explain that to you in a minute, but there's going to be no sermon per se. We'll read a scripture, a good portion of scripture, and I will make a couple sentence comment on it, and that's it. And then we're going to move on to another one and to another one. You have that list of scriptures before you. And so I just want to lead us in a time of maybe meditation, of just saturating our thoughts here. But I do have a theme and a direction, and I will explain that to you. But before we do, let me pray and read the crucifixion narrative for us. Dear Heavenly Father, we are here remembering you, thankful, blessed, and humbled just by the remembrance of this day, of what you endured, the physical pain and suffering for us, your great love for us. So, Lord, now we ask for your Spirit to be here, for your grace to be upon us, for you to be here, and to honor your name and your Son and your cross. Just speak into our hearts now. That's all we want. Speak into our hearts now. Let us know what we should be thinking, what we should be doing. Move us by this great day, by your great name. Lord, may your word not come back void as you've promised. We're going to honor you with your word, with scripture, with prayer. May our hearts be wide open to you. So Lord, I pray, be here now. In Jesus' name, amen. As they led Jesus away, a man named Simon, who was from Cyrene, happened to be coming in from the countryside. The soldiers seized him and put the cross on him and made him carry it behind Jesus. A large crowd trailed behind, including many grief-stricken women. But Jesus turned and said to them, "Daughters of Jerusalem, don't weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For the days are coming when they will say, 'Fortunate indeed are the women who are childless, the wombs that have not borne a child, and the breasts that have never nursed.' People will beg the mountains, fall on us, and plead with the hills, 'Bury us.' For if these things are done when the tree is green, what will happen when it is dry?" Two others, both criminals, were led out to be executed with him. When they came to a place called the Skull, they nailed him to the cross, and the criminals were also crucified, one on his right and one on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." And the soldiers gambled for his clothes by throwing dice. The crowd watched, and the leaders scoffed. "He saved others," they said. "Let him save himself if he's really God's Messiah, the chosen one." The soldiers mocked him too by offering him a drink of sour wine. They called out to him, "If you're the king of the Jews, save yourself." A sign was fastened above him with these words, "This is the king of the Jews." One of the criminals hanging beside him scoffed. "So you're the Messiah, are you? Prove it by saving yourself and us too while you're at it." But the other criminal protested, "Don't you fear God even when you've been sentenced to die? We deserve to die for our crimes, but this man hasn't done anything wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus replied, "I assure you, today you will be with me in paradise." By this time it was about noon, and darkness fell across the whole land until 3 o'clock. The light from the sun was gone. Suddenly the curtain in the sanctuary of the temple was torn down the middle. Then Jesus shouted, "Father, I entrust my spirit into your hands." And with those words, he breathed his last. When the Roman officer overseeing the execution saw what happened, he worshiped God and said, "Surely, this man was innocent." And when all the crowd that came to see the crucifixion saw what had happened, they went home in deep sorrow. But Jesus' friends, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance watching.
Pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for your love of us. Knowing that we are but sinners, and you sent yourself in the form of a man, your Son, Jesus Christ, to die for each of us. And Lord, sometimes, and I speak for myself personally, it's hard to understand why you would think a sinner like myself is worthy. Because we fail, and I fail again, and I fail again. But that's precisely why you sent your Son to die on a cross, that we could be redeemed, that we could be born again, that we could have the Holy Spirit living in us, that the blood of Jesus would wash us clean, and that we could walk with you and be with you and in the end spend eternity with you. Lord, I pray tonight as we gather on this night that the blood was shed for each of us. I pray that your Spirit would just invade each one of us tonight. Change our hearts, Lord. Change us that when we leave tonight, we will be leaving different than when we came. Lord, touch our hearts, draw each of us to you. Fill us with your Spirit, Lord. Lord, let this world that's outside of this place, those that you died on the cross for, even as you did for each of us, let them see you in each of us as we leave this place and as we walk around in this world, in this dark world every day. Let them see your light shine through us. Again, fill us, Lord, with your Spirit tonight. We love you, Lord Jesus. We praise you. It's so hard to comprehend how it would be worth it to you to die for each of us. But we thank you, Lord. Yes. We praise you. In your mighty name, Jesus, amen.
So tonight we'll be singing scripture, prayer, singing scripture, prayer. We'll take communion before we close, and we will sing. And we're just going to let the scriptures talk to us, and we're going to sing and talk to Him. This last month, I've been touching on areas, just preparing, just giving us food for thought as we move toward this weekend. So on your sheet, You see, we just sang, I love you, Lord, and then Devon prayed, and there are three sets of scripture that I'm going to read and just mention just a sentence or two, and then I'm going to move on. And I pray that you will let your heart and your mind just kind of absorb what's being said. The first section, I'm going to talk about a question and a topic that we don't like to talk about, but it's critical to the heart of the cross. It's why the cross happened. And we, in so many churches today, we don't want to talk about this anymore. And it makes the cross so meaningful and so rich to us. I'm going to answer the question in this first section. It's a question that people ask, and particularly culture, but to be quite honest with you, the church stumbles over it. Not our church, but church, big church across the country. There are many churches that really stumble over this issue. So a couple, 2-3 weeks ago, I spoke about Hades and Sheol and the lake of fire and hell. The question I'm going to answer for us tonight, for this room of believers, is hell just? Is hell fair? Is an eternal destination of fire, a fiery judgment of eternal destruction, is it really fair? Is it just? That's the word we're going to use. Is it just? A lot of people struggle with that. Such and such is a bad person. I was bad, but nobody deserves that. If that's this God, I don't want anything to do with Him. So that's the question this first section is going to address. Is eternity in a fiery judgment known as the lake of fire and other fire as well, to be quite honest with you, is that just? So listen as I read the first verse, 2 Peter 3, 1 through 13. And my comment to this section will be, He has told us about it a long, long, long time ago. He has warned us about it forever. This is my second letter to you, dear friends, and in both of them, I've tried to stimulate your wholesome thinking and refresh your memory. I want you to remember what the holy prophets said long ago and what our Lord and Savior commanded through your apostles. Most importantly, I want to remind you that in the last days, scoffers will come, mocking the truth and following their own desires. They will say, what happened to the promise that Jesus is coming again? From before the times of our ancestors, everything has remained the same since the world was first created. They deliberately forget that God made the heavens long ago by the word of His command. And He brought the earth out from the water and surrounded it with water. Then He used the water to destroy the ancient world with a mighty flood. And by the same word, the present heavens and earth have been stored up for fire. They are being kept for the day of judgment when ungodly people will be destroyed. But you must not forget this one thing, dear friends. A day is like 1,000 years to the Lord, and 1,000 years is like a day. The Lord isn't really being slow about His promise, as some people think. No, He is being patient for your sake. He does not want anyone to be destroyed, but wants everyone to repent. But the day of the Lord will come as unexpectedly as a thief. Then the heavens will pass away with a terrible noise, and the very elements themselves will disappear in fire, and the earth and everything on it will be found to deserve judgment. Since everything around us is going to be destroyed like this, what holy and godly lives you should live. Looking forward to the day of God and hurrying it along, on that day, He will set the heavens on fire and the elements will melt away in the flames. But we're looking forward to the new heavens and new earth He has promised, a world filled with God's righteousness. Is heaven just? Well, He has warned us about it long ago through the holy prophets of the Old Testament and through the apostles of our Lord and Savior in the New. The second section, I'm going to touch on a few verses. You'll follow my train of thought pretty easily. Is hell just? 1 John chapter 2, verse 21. So I am writing to you, not because you don't know the truth, but because you know the difference between truth and lies. And who is a liar? Anyone who says that Jesus is not the Christ. Anyone who denies the Father and the Son is an antichrist. Anyone who denies the Son doesn't have the Father either. But anyone who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. Chapter 4. Dear friends, do not believe everyone who claims to speak by the Spirit, Holy Spirit. You must test them to see if the Spirit they have comes from God. There are many false prophets, false teachers in the world. This is how we know if they have the Spirit of God. If a person claiming to be a prophet acknowledges that Jesus Christ came in a real body, that person has the Spirit of God. But if someone claims to be a prophet and does not acknowledge the truth about Jesus, that person is not from God. Such a person has the Spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard is coming into the world and indeed is already here. Portion of Scripture you've heard. Then the devil who had deceived them was thrown into the fiery lake of burning sulfur, joining the beast and the false prophet. There they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Now the beast and the Antichrist are the same. The Antichrist, the main Antichrist character, had his own false prophet that was with him. So 1 John says anyone who doesn't accept Jesus as the Christ, the Son of God, has the spirit of Antichrist. Here the beast and the false prophet. They will be thrown into the fiery lake of burning sulfur, joining the beast, Antichrist, and the false prophet. There they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne and the one sitting on it. The earth and sky fled from his presence, but they found no place to hide. I saw the dead, both great and small, standing before God's throne, and the books were open, including the book of life. And the dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. The sea gave up its dead, and death and the grave gave up their dead, and all were judged according to their deeds. Then death and the grave were thrown into the lake of fire. This lake of fire is the second death. And anyone whose name was not found recorded in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire. So the trail of Scripture tells us that there is a spirit controlling and living over and in, that's the Spirit of God that lives in us. And there's a spirit of Antichrist controlling others. Spirit of Christ, spirit of Antichrist. It's a spiritual battle. You know it's the Spirit of God because He openly declares and affirms Jesus Christ, God come in the flesh, His Son, the Christ, the Savior of the world. It's the Spirit of God living in Him. But those who deny it are called those that have the spirit of Antichrist. And there's a place prepared for the devil and his associates, for the Antichrist and his very own false prophet who accompanies him. There's a place prepared. It's called a lake of fire. And so it's prepared for him and his followers, anyone who denies that Jesus is the Son of God, is the Messiah, the Savior, goes with that Antichrist into the lake of fire. He has his spirit. We have the spirit of Christ, the spirit of God. They have the spirit. It's the spirit of Antichrist. They might not know it, but they do. It's what the Bible tells us. They go into the lake of fire. It's how it was prepared. It's how it was built. It's how it was made. And God has given us His Spirit as proof that we live in Him and He in us. Furthermore, we have seen with our own eyes and now testify, the Father sent His Son to be the Savior of the world. All who declare that Jesus is the Son of God have God living in them, and they live in God. We know how much God loves us, and we have put our trust in His love. I don't think many of us have really thought about the other side of the Spirit of God. Those that have the spirit of Antichrist. Final verse, 2 Thessalonians 1:3 through 10. Dear brothers and sisters, we can't help but thank God for you because your faith is flourishing and your love for one another is growing. We proudly tell God's other churches about your endurance and faithfulness in all the persecutions and hardships you are suffering. And God will use this persecution to show His justice and to make you worthy of His kingdom for which you are suffering. In His justice, He will pay back those who persecute you. And God will provide rest for you who are being persecuted, and also for us when the Lord Jesus appears from heaven. He will come with His mighty angels in flaming fire, bringing judgment on those who don't know God and on those who refuse to obey the good news of our Lord Jesus. They will be punished with eternal destruction, forever separated from the Lord and from His glorious power. When He comes on that day, He will receive glory from His holy people, praise from all who believe, and this includes you, for you believed what we told you about Him. It's His justice. It clearly says this is His justice. Is hell just? He told us a long time ago throughout the scriptures this was an outcome. There are two sides. This fiery eternal destruction prepared for the devil, the Antichrist, false prophet, his angels, and those who have the spirit of Antichrist, who deny Jesus, the Son. Those who have the Spirit of God go into eternity with God. Those go separated from God. Jesus will come back in flaming fire. It is His justice. The Bible tells us very clearly. I was talking today to Terry about the cross, about what Jesus was doing. And you know, in Jesus' mind, there's an enemy trying to steal and hurt and destroy all of His creation. Doing a pretty darn good job of it. He went to the cross to defeat that enemy.
Yes.
That enemy wants to take you and I and anyone he can get that he can cover in his spirit and deny Christ and move into eternity away from God. And Jesus died on the cross to save us from that, to get us back. That's the price that had to be paid to get us out of the enemy's hands. And the outcome for all people who deny Jesus is the Christ. Without the Son, you don't have the Father, and you're separated. Jesus looked at that cross in a totally different way than you and I. We see it as forgiveness of sin, and we needed that. But He saw the spiritual side of it. We needed that fountain filled with blood to snatch us back out of the enemy's hands and out of that end.
Sometimes we forget the agony that you went through. And I was thinking this morning that because of what you did on the cross, that I'm going to see my little sister again someday. And I thank you so much for that. I thank you that Sunday's coming.
Amen.
You did not stay in that grave. You went through agony for us. And all we have to do is choose to accept you as our Lord and Savior because you defeated death. And God, I pray that you will help us to remember to share what you've done for us every day in every way, how we treat people, how we love people. It's so easy to love the ones who love us back. But the ones who don't, and the ones who don't love you, it's harder. I think of my friend Jeff who rejects you and doesn't believe you, Lord. And how sad it makes me think of where he will spend eternity if he doesn't choose. I pray for my niece and nephew who don't know you, Lord. I pray that their eyes will be opened and they'll listen to what we tell them, what Grandma and Grandpa tell them, and that they will realize to see their mom one day in heaven. They need you as your Savior. And God, we thank you that Sunday's coming. In your name I pray. Amen.
The second section is about the cross. It's about the beauty of the cross. The devil, the enemy, knows that to separate us from a holy God, we have to be unholy. We have to be sin-stained, sin-dirty, sin-sick. And he needs to get us into sin. And he'd love to hold that sin on us. He'd love to permanently trap us in that sin. But it's the cross. It's by faith that we're totally set free from sin, from death. Jesus knew that. We're going to be purified either in the fire or we're going to be purified by the blood of the Lamb. Amen. In this day, in this cross, we washed all our sins away. Terry's going to read to you a couple scriptures about the beauty of the cleansing of the cross.
Colossians 1:19 through 22. For God in all his fullness was pleased to live in Christ, and through him God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. This includes you, who were once far away from God. You were his enemies, separated from him by your evil thoughts and actions. Yet now he has reconciled you to himself through the death of Christ in his physical body. As a result, he has brought you into his own presence, and you are holy and blameless as you stand before him without a single fault. Colossians 2:12 through 15. For you were buried with Christ when you were baptized, and with him you were raised to new life because you trusted the mighty power of God who raised Christ from the dead. You were dead because of your sins, and because of your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive with Christ, for he forgave all our sins. He canceled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. In this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross.
It's clear to see there's a spiritual battle, there's a spiritual enemy. He was shamed on the cross. He was defeated on the cross. Greg Morse writes about the passage I read in Luke. That is, Jesus, bloody from top to bottom, open wounds, skin fragments hanging loose from him. Most men die from that beating alone. As he tried to make it to the hill called Skull, he couldn't carry his own cross. He was too weak. Beyond recognition, the Bible tells us. And there were women following, weeping for him. And Jesus stopped and looked at them. And Morris writes and says, don't overlook this sentence. He looked at those women and he said, don't weep for me. Weep for yourself. Weep for your children and for those coming after you. There will come a day. There will come a day. And it will be horrible. Weep for yourself. For your family, for your kids, for your relatives, for your friends that may not accept him. Don't weep for me, he said. He knew he was going to a cross of victory. He was going to a cross of cleansing. He was going to shame the enemy. He knew that. He was going to set us free. He would provide the way for us to get out of the hands of the enemy. He would wash us totally clean. Any sin would be nailed to that cross. Don't weep for me. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. For the joy set before him, in his mind's eye, he could see that throne in heaven with his Father. For that joy set before him, for the victory at hand to defeat the enemy and to set us free. He said, don't weep for me. I'm about to score a big victory right here. I'm about to defeat hell and death and the grave and give you the key to set yourself free. Weep. Weep for yourself. Weep for your family. Weep for others that won't accept. There's judgment day coming. But don't weep for me. We've been set free. It's a powerful cross. It's an amazing cross. We are totally loose. The enemy has been stripped of his power. His hands are wide open and we run free in Jesus Christ. Totally washed of our sin. And by the way, your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life.
Amen.
Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Because of Jesus' cross.
Amen.
You're free. What a wonderful cross. That were a present far, far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. So the final section, the wonderful cross. We've looked at, is hell just? And it is. Scripture is very clear. Our sin is the device, if you will, of the devil to keep us away from the holy God. Now the wonderful cross. And I'm going to call this last section this. The unjust love of the cross. See, most people question hell. Is hell just? And it is. It's the cross. It's the unjust love of the cross. That's where the unjustness lives. Listen to what I mean. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 19. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. You could put your name right in there instead of people's. You could put your name right there. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. If there's anything unjust, it's the love of the cross. God made Christ, who knew sin, never sinned, to be made sin, to be the offering for our sin. He hung on the cross, having never sinned, as a criminal, as the offering for my sin. The unjustness is in the cross, not in the fiery hell, lake of fire. The cross was love, but it was the perfect man, the sinless man, dying for the sinner, me. Chapter 6, as God's partners, can you imagine that? He calls us partners. As God's partners, we beg you not to accept this marvelous gift of God's kindness and then ignore it. For God says, at just the right time, I heard you. On the day of salvation, I helped you. And indeed, the right time is now. Today is the day of salvation. When you pleaded, when we came to a point where we hated our life so much, we knew we were sinful and Satan had us, we cried out for help, and he helped us. At that day of salvation, he saved us. He didn't say no. He said yes. Yes. You're free. You are free. Today's the day of salvation. If you've never understood eternity, hell, the cross in this light, you're still in Satan's grasp. Today is the day of salvation. If you've never given your life to Christ, if you have never cried out, help me, save me, I believe. Today is your day to be saved. And he says, I'll help you. I'll do that. Today is the day of salvation. The unjustness was in the cross, but there was so much love, God never says no. Casey, will you come up and pray for our communion and pray for us, period.
God, I thank you for cycles. Every year, we're reminded of this message, of Easter, of Christmas, and new moons, and many parts of your plan and your story and Jesus' life is rolled over every year in cycles for believers and non-believers alike. It's retold. And for many, the cross was harsh. God, even my daughter, when she sees a depiction or a teaching of the cross, she wants to hold Daddy's hand when the spikes go in and the crown goes on the head. But it doesn't end there. It doesn't stay that way. Because death was conquered and God, the veil was torn and he rose. He rose 3 days later. We thank you. We've been redeemed. And he calls us his own. Now there's a new cycle. It's grace, grace, grace. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Harry, would you and Darlene come up? We'll take communion now. I just ask us to just spend some time in quiet reflection. This is what it took to set us free from the enemy's hands. You know, we go about from day to day and we just love our sin. We don't really think about where it's taking us. We don't really think about whose hands we're locked into. We don't really think about the spirit of Antichrist. It's just the day-to-day means to take someone to a fire eternity away from God. What a deceptive plan. Jesus loved us so much, he was willing for his very body to be shredded to set us free from that enemy. Lord, we love you. I don't know that we'll ever wrap our mind around what you've done. But we thank you. Thank you for the freedom that you give us in your broken body and the blood that you shed. In Jesus' name, amen. He went through a lot for us. It was no small task. Let's eat the broken body of Jesus together. Lord, how is it we see our sin as so small and insignificant and harmless? How is it we call ourselves not so bad when you had to do all this to wash us? Speak to us, I pray. Life is in the blood, it tells us clear back in Leviticus, starts setting this whole thing up. Holy prophets of old told us long ago, no sacrifices burned on the altar, what needed to happen. Man shed his life's blood for my sin. I'm not the worst guy on the planet, but that's what it took. Nothing less. Nothing less. Dear Lord, I'm so thankful you reign on high. I am so thankful that after this cross, you were exalted and you are praised. I'm so thankful what you went through for me. Now you are King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And your name will live. You will reign forever and ever. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I don't know if you've ever thought of it this way, but it didn't take all of this, all of the cross, to redeem us from annihilation. You know what I mean? If we die someday and we don't go and spend this eternity in the fire, if we're annihilated, I mean, we're just poof, we're gone. Well, to a lot of people, that's not that big a deal. I mean, they're ready to commit suicide anyway. They wish they weren't here. And if that's it, if I can just kill myself and I just disappear forever, I'm gone, I don't feel anything, that's almost a blessing to some. I mean, that's their wish now. If that's all this was about, big deal. I don't need rescued from that. I'm quite all right with that. Thank you very much. If it was just a life of poverty in heaven, if you just went somewhere and instead of being in paradise with us, you're just going to live in poverty. All right, I do that now. And we minister to people on Wednesday nights. That's their life. Okay, I can do this. I don't need that. But all of this, this blood, that body makes a whole world of difference when you say, no, the cost is a fiery judgment away from God and His righteousness forever and ever. this takes on a whole new meaning at that point. To do or die. To do or die. It's a drink. Lord, I'm asking you now, and we're going to sing that beautiful, beautiful old song about your cross. I pray. I pray what you told us. That we wouldn't accept this cross and then not pay attention to it, to not honor it with our life. My prayer for me, for my wife, and for my family here at Cornerstone, that as we go through tonight and this weekend, will you speak to us and tell us, what sin is it we're ignoring that cost you this? Shine lights on our soul. What sin is it that we're okay with? But it cost you this. Lord, may we make a significant move this weekend, looking inside ourselves and not being content to let that sin, that weight or that sin that cost you this, go another day. Forgive us. Forgive us, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Please be seated. Let's conclude our time. I hope as we go home tonight, maybe you'll go just think about it. Go have coffee with someone here. Talk about it. Reflect on it. Don't let it just end. It's just another service. Yeah, joy comes on Sunday. It's a beautiful day. It's a pretty amazing day. But today, those guys were running. This was an awful day. And you and I know the rest of the story. Man, let's not lose it. Let's just not walk out those doors, head to McDonald's, and forget all about it. Let's let it have its work. This was a big, big freedom. Paid a big, big price. Your blood was shed and exchanged my guilt and my destination fire for a crown. Lord, you removed me from the darkness of the spirit of Antichrist and the grip of Satan, and you made us ambassadors for you. You make your appeal now through us. Oh, the grace. All because of the blood of Jesus Christ, we are new. Write us down in the book of life. Write our name down. We love you. Jesus is our Lord and Savior, and we accept your call as your ambassadors. And we will throw those crowns at your feet. We love you, and we love Jesus. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for coming. Have a great, great weekend.